He's alive. And Jesus invites you to come alive to the power of the resurrection in your life. This is Easter Sunday. This is the Sunday where everything changes. This is the Sunday where the impossible becomes possible. This is the Sunday that changes world history. And more importantly, it changes personal history. And so we find the story told in the Bible. Four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament. And this morning I ask you to draw your attention to Mark's version of the account. And we read it in verse 16. If you have a Bible or an iPad or a phone, you can find it there. If not, it'll appear on the screen for you in a moment. You can also follow the notes on the YouVersion Bible app under the event. So Mark tells us, "But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. 'You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.'" Today we celebrate the event that changes the world. Our calendars are defined by it. There's a man by the name of Lee Strobel who was a reporter in the city of Chicago some years back. One day his wife came home and announced to him that she had found Jesus. And she gave her life to him. And she was going to serve him and follow the teachings of the Bible and go to church and all that stuff that goes along with faith in Christ. And Lee set out to disprove everything about Christianity. He was an investigative reporter. And so he took the next 2 years of his life to prove to his wife why Christianity is fake and false. And why this Jesus and this resurrection story is a hoax. Lee has gone on to write some books. He is now a pastor. Because he said at the end of his 2 year investigation, the only conclusion he could find is that Jesus is who Jesus said. Jesus died and rose from the dead. Lee Strobel this week put out a video to pastors. And in it he says, "History points to the resurrection as being an actual historical event based on these 4 points he summarizes." He says, "There's no disputing that Jesus was crucified and dead. Even his enemies say that Jesus was crucified and dead." So he said, number one, there's no doubt about it. He died. And then the early reports of his resurrection came so close to his death that they had to be taken seriously. And Jesus appeared to numbers of people on numbers of times. Eyewitness accounts. He said, third thing you have to account for is there's an empty tomb. The tomb is empty. Even Jesus' opponents claim that the tomb was empty. And they had no explanation. And fourthly, he says, there are 9 ancient sources inside and outside of the New Testament that confirm and corroborate that the disciples encountered a risen Jesus. Oh, there's more. He says there are also facts from 7 ancient sources that tell us that the disciples went to live lives of deprivation and suffering because they encountered a risen Jesus and he changed their life. And the idea here is these disciples would not live lives of suffering and deprivation for a hoax. They would only go through what they faced because they knew that Jesus was risen. He is the resurrected Savior. Lee sums it up with this. He says, all this points to an avalanche of historical data that proves Jesus rose from the dead. And here's the thing that probably matters the most. See, if Jesus rose from the dead, then everything he said is true. Think about it. If Jesus rose from the dead, then everything that Jesus said is true. Everything he proclaimed is true. Everything that the Bible tells us about him is true. So what does this historical event mean for us today? Because that's the real matter. Like, this is great, and this story is about 2,000 years old, and whoop-de-doo maybe, but what does that mean for me? What does that mean for us? What does that mean in 2018? I want to put it this way to you. Because of the resurrection, we come alive to the power to change our lives. It's the resurrection power of Jesus that allows us to come alive to the resurrection power of God. You see, the problem we have in our lives is, how do we change? How do we change? It's hard to change. Ever try a diet? I know you're looking at me. It's okay. Why? Because it's hard to change. How many of us on a New Year's resolution say, this is the year I'm going to get fit? And 10 days in, it's like, where's the ice cream? I don't want to get up early and go to Good Life. I don't want to get up early and spend time on my treadmill in the basement, which has just become a glorified clothes hanger. Right? It's hard to change. You might be wondering this morning, how do I change? How do I get that power to change? Maybe you're here this morning and you're wondering. You're saying to yourself, I don't know if I have the power to change my attitude or my outlook on life. Maybe you're the person who always sees a half empty glass. You don't know how to see a half full. Maybe you're always negative rather than positive. How do you change that outlook? Or maybe you're here today and you say, I don't know if I have the strength to continue on in my marriage. It's difficult and it's hard, and it might just be easier to walk away. How do I find this power to change? Maybe you say, I don't know if I have the ability to break this addiction in my life, whatever it might be. How? How do we change these things? I don't know if I truly have the power to forgive that person that really hurt me. Like, sometimes it's more fun to wallow in my bitterness. But reality is it is not. How do we change? I don't know if I have the power to live the kind of life that Jesus is calling me to live. You see, if he resurrected from the dead, then everything he said is true. Then how do I live my life to follow him? I don't know if I have the power to serve Jesus wholeheartedly with my life. See, because of the resurrection, we come alive to the power that changes our life. The reality is, we can't change on our own. The reality is, we always go for the ice cream rather than treadmill. It's hard to change on our own. That's why we need a resurrected Jesus. The resurrection gives us the power to change. That's why we can't change our lives without a Savior. And Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's the only Savior of the world. He is the only way that leads to God. We need a resurrected Savior. This morning I want to draw your attention to a couple of ideas, and I want to share those scriptures with you. And one of the first ones I want to share with you is found in Philippians chapter 3, and Paul writes this. There's a brand new movie about Paul coming out. I don't know if it's playing here. It is playing here? Okay, so that same Paul wrote a good chunk of the New Testament, and this is what he said: I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. I want the words in red. I want to know the power of his resurrection. It's the power of his resurrection that we need. Because before we can change, we need to understand who we are and where we're coming from. See, many times we allow our past to stop us from moving forward. We've all made mistakes. We've all had failures in our life. We've all sinned. Yeah, you're not the only one sitting here who sinned. You're in a room full of sinners. Most of us saved by the grace of God. Our lives changed by a resurrected Savior. But we've all got a past. And the problem is sometimes people can't let go of their past. Sometimes people allow their past to become like shackles on their lives. It stops them from moving forward. It stops them from gaining new ground. It stops them from changing. But I want you to know that Jesus died to forgive your past failures, your past mistakes, and your past sins. Jesus died with the resurrection power that brought him back to life. Paul also wrote this in Colossians 2. It says, you were dead because of your sin, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. You see, Jesus rose from the dead to break the power of failure and sin in your life. Jesus rose from the dead so that not only would he live, but so you could live. That's why he invites you to come alive this morning. Jesus has done away with the record of charges against you, Colossians just told us. See, God offers you complete forgiveness. God offers you thorough forgiveness. God wants to take your sins and your past. And that verse in Colossians used the word canceled. He canceled, as in canceling a charge against you. Canceling a debt. Everybody knows what a debt is. You have a Visa card or a MasterCard or a car payment or a mortgage or rent. Wouldn't it be great if the bank called you and said, you know your mortgage? It's canceled. And you'd say, you're taking my house? And they'd say, no, no, no. Somebody walked in and paid for it. That's what Jesus did for you. He walked into this world. He died on a cross and he resurrected from the grave. And he said, the debt of sin over your life is canceled. It's canceled. That's even better than getting your mortgage paid. Yeah, sure, Pastor, it's because you don't pay my mortgage. It is. No, it's not like Jesus doesn't know the wrong we've done. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm just a little peon in this world. And God is so big and mighty that you know, he doesn't really pay attention to me. I have news for you. He pays close attention to you. The Bible tells us the hairs on your head are numbered. It's not he knows how many hair there are. It's he knows which number fell out last night. Oh, there goes 1,423. Because he cares for you. He knows all about you. He knows about your failures. He knows about your mistakes. He knows about your sins. And yet, he's still willing to say to Jesus, because you died on the cross, it's canceled. See, Jesus doesn't come to rub in your sin. He comes to rub them out. Jesus doesn't come to condemn you. He comes to change you by saving you from your sin. John 3 says this, for God did not send his son into the world to be condemned, to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. When I was a kid, just a few years ago, I had a toy that was fun. I mean, we used to fight over it. It was mine, but my cousins would fight me for it. I don't remember how I got it. Isn't that horrible? Must have been a gift from my parents for Christmas or birthday. I had, maybe some of you remember this, an Etch-a-Sketch. Oh, yeah. Do you know the Etch-a-Sketch is in the Toy Hall of Fame? That's an Etch-a-Sketch if you don't know what it is. It's this grayish screen and those two white knobs on the bottom, one moves vertically and the other moves horizontally. And you can turn those knobs and you can make pictures. If you go online, you won't believe the pictures people make with these things. Like masterpieces. Not me. I mean, you had to get really good to try and even make a circle. You had to kind of turn those knobs at the same time and same pace. But you can make curves, and as you got good with it, and the thing about the Etch-a-Sketch is you would draw all this stuff on it. When you were done or you wanted to start over, you flipped it upside down, screen down, and you shook it. And when you turned it back up, it was clean. It was clean. And that's kind of what Jesus does for you. God takes the messes and the regrets and the sins of your past, and he shakes the blood of Jesus over them, and he wipes them away. And you're given a clean slate. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's what Easter is all about. That's what his death and his resurrection is all about. But you need to understand this. Jesus didn't die and resurrect just to forgive you of your past. But he resurrected to give you a new identity. See, your identity is something that defines you. And unfortunately, in our society, sometimes we mix up and we mess up where we think our identities really are. Our culture defines us in the world that we live in presently. We're defined by our race. We're defined by our religion. Maybe we're defined by our political views. Maybe we're defined by our gender. We're defined by all kinds of things. Maybe we find our identity in our occupation, our job. It's probably not really the best place to find your identity. It really isn't. Maybe we're defined by our hobbies. We're identified by our education. Well, you know, I have a PhD. I have two. I have none. But may we identify by our education. Or we identify by our physical appearance. We think we've got it all together because, hey, we're just it. Right? Maybe we get our identity from who our friends are. And you know, sometimes walking amongst us in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, are people who are defined by their hidden identities. They're shaped by things in their life that they don't really want people to know, or they've made some bad decisions they don't want people to know about. Maybe you're defined by an addiction that you're just embarrassed about. Or maybe you're defined by a weight issue or a self-esteem issue. Maybe you've got a health issue that, you know, you like to just keep it to yourself. You don't need to share this. Maybe you're living with a label. You're adopted. You're divorced. You're alone. Maybe you're living with a label. You're poor. Maybe you feel unwanted. Maybe you feel unloved. But we've all got this place of identity amongst us. Every person in this room identifies with something or identifies themselves as something. And again, how do we change that? See, it's the power of the resurrection that brings us the power to change. You see, when Jesus conquered death, he brought us the power to change our identity. See, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you the rest of my life, Jesus looks at who you think you are and he says, that's not who I see. This is who I see. And Jesus places on us not just forgiveness, but a new identity. He gives us something, a way that we can shape our lives better for him. John 1:12 says this, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's your identity. Jesus rose from the dead so that you could be a child of God. See, your new identity is not tied up in who you are. Your identity is tied up in who God is. See, because of the resurrection, you are no longer a product of your environment. Because of the resurrection, you are not defined by what society says about you. Because of the resurrection, you are not defined by your past and your failures and your mistakes. Because of the resurrection, you are now a child of God. And God is your Father. See, Jesus gives you a new identity because of the resurrection. He forgives your past. He wipes it out. And he says, you're not who you thought you were. You are better than that. You're not defined by your failures and your sins. You're defined by what I see. I see a child of God. God says you are his son and his daughter. But Jesus didn't die and resurrect just for your past, but also for your future. This morning we celebrated water baptism. It's a great time in the church. It's a great time to celebrate. And as we look at water baptism, we have this picture of death and resurrection. So when we see, I know you can't see because we don't have a transparent wall, which probably could be really good. But there's that behind there is like a big bathtub filled with water to about this level. And we take people and we baptize them. And when Pastor Paul baptized them today, he took them and he put them fully under the water. And that's a picture of death. Totally under. We're dead. What are we dead to? We're dead to sin. We're dead to our own selfishness. We're dead to the past. But, you know, we don't hold them there. We won't hold them there. We bring them up real quick. And when they come up, it's the picture of resurrection. It's new life. It's new opportunities. It's new changes. Lives are changed. Pasts are wiped out. The future is new. Everything is new. There's a resurrection power that comes. And that's what the picture of water baptism is. Besides, Jesus commanded us to do it. It's a public confession of a private faith. You may go to church, you may give your life to Christ in your seat and nobody knows. You may do it at home at a kitchen table, in a bedroom, in a coffee shop with a friend. But at one point Jesus says you got to come from being private to being public. And water baptism is public. And that's what we did today. We celebrated death to sin, alive to Christ. Dead to selfishness, resurrected to new life. Paul also writes to the Galatians in chapter 2. He says this, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Now, do you think he was really crucified on the cross with Christ? No, he's speaking figuratively. I don't live. My selfishness doesn't live. My past doesn't live. See, Paul had a past. When he writes this, Paul was the persecutor of Christians. He went around rounding them up and throwing them into prison at the least. He says, but I'm no longer alive to that. But Christ lives in me. The faith I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, the power of the resurrection means that the living Jesus has come to live inside of you by his Holy Spirit. That's what the resurrection life is. That it's not just you. Now it's you and Jesus. It's you and Jesus. I live it. I live it by his Holy Spirit. You know, life is unpredictable. We get up every day and we face each new day like it's just another day, but life is unpredictable. 1 minute everything is going so good. 1 minute you're just sailing along with no problems. And the next moment everything could change. The phone could ring. Could be your boss saying, I need to see you tomorrow. It's your last day. Everything changes. The phone could ring. It's your doctor saying, I need to see you tomorrow. I have bad news for you. The phone could ring and it could be a loved one saying, I'm facing a crisis. See, life is unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen. You can be sailing along. Everything is great one moment and then everything could fall apart the next moment. See, life contains stress and heartache and disappointment, setbacks and trials and tragedies. And the question is, how can you face those things? What do you do when the phone rings? How do you handle when a crisis slaps you in the face? And that's usually what they do. You know, they don't send prior notice. You don't get a 30-day notice. It just shows up. How do you handle it? How do you face the roadblocks of your life? How can you handle the dead ends? How do you survive when trouble comes knocking? I want to tell you how. I didn't say it's going to be easy, but here's the reality. You do it through the power of a risen Jesus Christ, where Jesus comes alive in you, where he puts his Holy Spirit in you, so that when you don't have the strength, God says, I'll give you the strength. When you don't have a way through, God says, I'll be your way through. God puts his Holy Spirit in you because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He comes and he takes residence inside of your life. He says, I'm here with you. You need to realize the power of the resurrected Jesus lives in you to help you face each new day. See, the resurrection story isn't a 2,000-year-old story. It's an every morning story. It's not a 2,000-year-old story. It's an everyday story. It's every day, God, I need you to get me through this day. It's God, Holy Spirit, I need you to give me wisdom for this day. Jesus, I need you to show me how to make it through this day. It's in those difficult times where you'll be glad that you're a child of God. Because as a child of God, you can go, Daddy, I need some help here. When he is your heavenly Father, he will be with you in the darkest times of your life because he's made you this promise. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You see, why is it important that the resurrection is true? Because if it's true, then everything the Bible says is true. And if everything the Bible says is true, then he will never leave you or forsake you. He will not forget you or abandon you. He will not desert you. He will not turn his back on you. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ lives in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the easiest ways for me to sum this up is in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And the Message, which is a paraphrase, which brings to life to us what the author is saying, puts it this way. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. That's the resurrection power. That's what happens when the resurrection power moves into your life. I'd like to ask the worship team to come back. What does the resurrection mean to you today? That's the whole point. Like, it's great. Is it just an ancient story? Or maybe you're here today and go, you know that Easter story? It's just a hoax. It's a fable. Might not be a hoax, but it's a fable. You know, somebody made it up a long time ago. And those people who made up the Bible. And you know, it's just... just some suggestions for how to live your life. See, if Jesus rose from the dead, then everything he said is true. If Jesus really rose from the dead, then everything that's written is true. If Jesus really rose from the dead, then it affects your everyday life. What does the resurrection mean to you today? Now, you can go and visit Jesus' tomb. They've got it all marked out there in Israel. I've never gone, but I've been told. I've looked at the pictures. And when you go there, it's empty. There's nobody in there. See, the thing that makes Christianity different than any other thought or religion or process in the world is our leader is still alive. The tomb is still empty. He's not there. He is risen. He is alive. Some of you are desperate to make a change in your life today. I want you to know that because Jesus is alive, he gives you the power to change. But here's the secret. You can't do it alone. That's where we fail. We try to change on our own. We try in our own strength. We try in our own understanding. We try in our own abilities. But we can't do it on our own. Some of you can't let go of your past failures and mistakes. I want you to know this morning, Jesus offers you forgiveness. He'll break your past off of you. He offers you forgiveness. Some of you have your identity wrapped up in the wrong things. You're looking for meaning in life. You're looking for identity in life. If only I could do this, and if only I could be that, and if only I can attain this. I have news for you today. That the power of the resurrection offers you a brand new identity this morning. Your identity will be found as a child of God. Some of you feel powerless over the challenges you're facing right now. But through the power of the resurrection, Jesus offers you the power of his Holy Spirit. He will come, he'll give you peace and strength. He'll give you the power and the ability to face every issue that life throws at you. That you don't have to walk through your issues alone. That you can walk in the confidence knowing that God is your Father. That he loves you and he cares for you. See, the resurrection means that no situation is too hopeless. No problem is too big for Jesus. You see that? Say it again. The resurrection means that no situation is too hopeless. No problem is too big for Jesus. He's still in the resurrection business, and he has the power to change your life today. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? I have two questions that I want to ask you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't even know why. Maybe somebody invited you and you came and you came for a reason. Maybe you've never come to this church or any church before, or you haven't been in church in a long time. But you're here today. And before you can understand the resurrection power of Jesus, you need to understand the forgiveness of Jesus. And you need to accept his forgiveness. See, Jesus died on a cross for you. And when he died, he canceled the debt of your sin. And he offers you forgiveness. He can wipe out your failures. He can wipe out your past. He can wipe out your sin. And cause you to live in resurrection power. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I have never ever considered living my life for Jesus. Pastor, I've never considered that I am a sinner and I need my sins to be forgiven. But this morning on Easter Resurrection Day, I understand that if Jesus rose from the dead, then everything he said is true. And I need forgiveness. If that's you this morning, I just ask that you would hold up your hand and look at me so I could see you. If that's you this morning, you can put your hand down. Are there others? Just lift your hand and look at me. You can put your hand down. Put your hand down. Are there others this morning who would say, Pastor, I need Jesus' forgiveness. I have a second question. How many of you need that resurrection power this morning? How many of you would say, Pastor, I need that resurrection power. I need to know that I'm a child of God. I need to know that God will never leave me or forsake me. I need to know. You put your hand down. You can ask us all to stand together. For those who raised your hand together, I just want to pray for you. Father, we just give you all honor and glory this morning. Lord, we just say thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the power that changes our lives. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that comes in and lives with us and helps us. Lord, you saw those hands that were raised this morning. Those who need the forgiveness of your power and those who need your resurrection power. Father, I pray for those this morning who desperately, desperately want to know you. I pray that over the coming days you would reveal your life to them. That the resurrection power of Jesus would take hold of their life. Lord, that they would know that you are the God who loves them and cares for them. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them in a very specific, personal way this week. Lord, that they'd come back, even if they're not used to coming back. They'll come back next week and say, Pastor, this is what Jesus did for me this week. Lord, we believe in you. We thank you for the resurrection. We ask for that resurrection power to live in us today and always. And we give you the glory and the honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray.